Brothers and sisters, the message today is according to the two greatest prayers. This is in Ephesians 1:17-23, then Ephesians 3:14-21. This two section of scriptures are the basis for this message. Maybe we can all pray read 2 by 2, pray read this message. How about we just do Ephesians 1:17 to Ephesians 1:23, 2 by 2, and pray read this section of the scripture. The God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of His strength, which He caused to operate in Christ in raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He subjected all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of the One who fills all in all. Amen. Amen. Read this. Brother Ron mentioned that for many years he pre-read this verses every day. This is a very important prayer, that the God of our God, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of grace, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to this operation of the might of His strength, which He caused to operate in Christ in raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rules and authorities and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He subjected all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of the One who fills all in all. Amen. Brothers and sisters, later we will pray read the second prayer. These two prayers, every word are crucial. Every single word are very important and valuable. In the last message, we know about the central goal of the prayer, which is the glorious church. The prayer of the age is to accomplish, to carry out the economy of this age. The prayer allow us to know our position, our authority, which is the same position as the head and authority as the head, with the head, as the head. This second message talk about the content of the prayers. What should be the main point? So Paul in Ephesians has such a prayer, especially regarding the church as the body. In chapter 1, he talked about the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. And here that he prayed regarding the riches being filled. And in chapter 3, the prayer is regarding the experience. So in the first prayer talk about the vision, regarding the vision, that we need to have such a vision and revelation, and before we can have an experience in chapter 3. Without vision, our experience may not be proper. If you only have experience without revelation, maybe our experience is not as appropriate. If you only have revelation without experience, it's not so good either. Brother Nee, in his Overcomers training, he talked about the failure of believers or lack of growth. Is caused by two things. One is not knowing yourself, not knowing also the riches of Christ, not knowing without revelation. If we have no revelation, we would not pay the price to gain, to obtain, or to experience. So we need to have such a revelation. We need to know and see this. We need to pray to the Lord. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation, if there is something behind the veil, if you unveil, you remove the veil, then it was revealed. Once you reveal that, unveiled it, then you need to have the light. You have the light shining. Even when, after you unveil, you need to have the light. We need to be enlightened. So third, we need the wisdom. It's been unveiled, also with the light. But if you don't have the wisdom, someone shared that someone went to a factory with all the all the machineries. If this person does not know anything about machinery, then you have no appreciation of this very advanced factory. May the Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and wisdom. So eyes of our heart may be enlightened, so that we know what is the hope of his calling. Let's read Roman numeral 1. In Paul's first prayer in Ephesians, a prayer for a revelation, he prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, with the eyes of our heart being enlightened, to know the hope of God's calling, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and the surpassing greatness of God's power toward us who believe. And we have read this portion of the scripture. And let's look at the sub-points. First, point A. We must be God's friends, those who understand His heart. We have to see, know, and have the vision of eternity, a vision that sees us and captures us to the extent that we live the life of eternity and work the work of eternity. Point B, the hope of our God's calling is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That's three small points. Christ realized by us, experienced by us, and gained by us to the fullest extent to be our ultimate manifestation and consummation as our glory is the hope of our calling. Point two. God called us and justified us, and he will glorify us, conforming us to the image of his Son. Eventually, we all will be absolutely the same as Christ. 3. The hope of God's calling is the ultimate consummation of our enjoyment of Christ, which will be the transfiguration of our body and the manifestation of the sons of God. This point, the hope of God's calling, what a hope, which is a hope of glory. In this prayer, we need to know how glorious is this hope. Point C, the riches of the God, glory of God's inheritance in the saints speaks of God sealing us with himself to make us his inheritance for his enjoyment, and God's pledging himself to us to make him our inheritance for our enjoyment. Point one, brothers, God's glory has its riches, which are the many different items that constituted God's divine attribute, such as light, life, power, love, righteousness, and holiness, and expressed to different degrees. Two, since we are God's inheritance, the Holy Spirit is the seal upon us. Since God is our inheritance, the Holy Spirit is a pledge to us of this inheritance. The sealing and pledging of the Holy Spirit continue to permeate and transform us with God's divine element for our enjoyment until we are mature in God's life and our body is transfigured in glory. Point C, talk about in this prayer, the second portion of this prayer, that we know the glory of the inheritance. This inheritance in the saints. The glory of God's inheritance in the saints. The first portion talk about the hope of God's calling, which is glory. This hope is a glory. And this rich, this inheritance of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. Next is talk about the power. Point D, the surpassing greatness of God's power, his resurrecting power, ascending, transcending power, subjecting, subduing power, and heading up over ruling power. It is operating in us, is toward us who believe, and is to the church. Brothers, one. The church is the depository of this surpassingly great forceful power of the triune God. When this power operates in Christ, it made him the head. When this power operates in us, it makes us the body. Three, to experience the divine transmission of this power, we need to realize that this power is in us already. Four, to experience the divine transmission of this power, we need to have a strong desire to get completely out of death. We'll come back and look at this four sub-points under this Roman numeral. Point A is asking for a revelation. In this revelation, we will know his heart, or understand his heart, so that we will have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. So we will know his heart desire. What are in his heart desire? Point B, talk about the calling. This calling has a hope. And depending on who's calling you, we may have a different kind of hope. If the President of the United States call you, you may have a different hope. What is the hope in this calling? And then in C, talk about the inheritance he has given us. Inheritance. It's like a capital. What are the riches of this capital? This wisdom. And then in point D, talk about the surpassing greatness of God's power. There are three things we need to remember. The hope. The riches. And the third is regarding the surpassing greatness of the power. What is his heart design? Point A, we need to see, to know, to have the vision of eternity, a vision that sees us and capture us, our heart, to the extent that we live the life of eternity and work the work of eternity. Now we can look at the point. Is that we need to be God's friends. We need God's friends. That the friends that would understand His heart. Our understanding is related to our seeing, our knowing, and our having the vision. To see the vision is in our spirit. To know also is in our spirit. This vision needs to capture us or seize us. This is our soul. In our spirit, we can see and know. In our soul, we're seized by Him and captured by Him. And then we can have a living in our body. So we can live the life of eternity and work. This is regarding our living and service. Galatians 1:15, the verses. But when it pleased God, this is His call. Call me through His grace. 1:16, to reveal His Son in me. He called us. He called us. And He had the desire to reveal His Son in me. Galatians 2:20, Christ is living in me. Christ lives in me. Galatians 4:19, this Christ will form in us. The more it's formed, it's a conformed in us. So 1 Corinthians 2:10, but to us God has revealed them through the Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things. In verse 15:10, by the grace of God I am who I am. In 16:10, so He is working the work of the Lord even as I am. So we live in this vision. We have under such a vision to serve, to live, and to do such a work. So after we have to, we know His desired, then we can live Him completely, spirit, soul, and body. So this point is very important to tell us why do we need to know His desire? Why do we need the revelation? So once we know, once we have the revelation, our tripartite being, spirit, soul, and body, can live Him and work Him and serve Him. Point B, and 3, C and D, we can do, we can simply say that B, so we know the hope of God's calling. And D, talk about that we know the riches of the glory of God, inheritance, and also the surpassing greatness of God's power. In Ephesians 1, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Glory is a source. Is a source, it also is, everything is unto the glory. Glory has been mentioned many times in Ephesians 1. In verses 6, talking about the divine dispensing from the triune God, and to He can have the praises. He is glory. He is dispensing His glory into to us. And then He will eventually, that we can reach such a glory. We become His glorious Son, become His glorious expression. So, in verse 6, 12, and 16, in the footnote number 6, His glory is worthy of our praising three times, threefold praising. Our hope is glory. This inheritance is also glory, glorious. The riches, not only riches is high, but it's also glorious. Even the power is glorious. Even the church becoming His body, and body is the fullness, and this fullness is also glorious. We need to see in this point the hope, the inheritance, and the power. These all are glorious. The verse quoted here is Colossians 1:27. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What is the riches of glory, of which is the glory of the hope? Point one, Christ realized by us, experienced by us, and gained by us to the fullest extent, to be our ultimate manifestation. Christ is glory. He Himself is glory. But Christ being realized by us and experienced by us and gained by us to the fullest extent. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face is full of glory. And then he need to put a veil on his face. But today, in the New Testament, we are facing Him. We are reflecting him from glory to glory. We do not put a veil over our face because we are being constituted by him. Our hope, Christ becoming our glory. This is our hope. This is the hope of our God calling. Point two, God called us and justified us, and he will glorify us and conforming us to the image of his Son. Eventually, we all will be absolutely the same as Christ. Romans 8, 29 and 30 talk about, because who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. In verse 30, and he talked about the predestinate, he also called, and those who he called, he also justified, and those who he justified, he also glorified. So in 29, in his foreknew, he is for the glory. And 30, in the, his predestination is also for our glory. We're being glorified and to be conformed into his glory. Point three, the hope of God's calling is the ultimate consummation of our enjoyment of Christ, which will be the transfiguration of our body and a manifestation of the sons of God. The calling, the hope of our God's calling eventually will be matured. We eventually will be transfigured of our body. It's not only just the conformed or glorified, eventually the manifestation of the sons of God. This three small point, his call, the hope of our God's calling is glorious. This glorious calling has a hope. This hope is glory. The objective and subjective experience of Christ is eventually is he become our glory, that Christ in us becoming the hope of glory. When we called and justified, and we're being glorified, and we're being conforming to the image of his Son, so that eventually we will be absolutely the same as Christ. And point three, talk about not only individually we're being conformed, but all the sons of God will be manifested in such a way. Philippians 3:21. You know, according to the operation by his able even to subject all things to himself, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation. Romans 8:19, for the anxious watching of creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. The revelation of the sons of God. It's the full sonship. Romans 8:23. We have ourselves growing in ourselves, eagerly awaiting sonship and the redemption of our body. When we are redeemed, our redemption of the body is the full sonship. The hope of God's calling is to glorify us. In this hope, we can be glorified, to be sonized, to become sons of God. So our tripartite being are being saved. Point C. Let's talk about the inheritance. Ephesians 1:11, we're designated as the inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. in whom we we become his inheritance. 1:14 talk about the pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of acquired possession to the praise of his glory. He become our inheritance. We are his inheritance and he is our inheritance. So we are mutual inheritance. This inheritance is a glorious inheritance. It's not a physical or material. This inheritance is the eternal God becoming our inheritance. Point one, God's glory. What is God's glory? God's glory has his riches, like his attributes, light, life, power, love, righteousness, and being expressed. Glory is God expressed. Two, talk about we are God's inheritance, and the Holy Spirit is sealed upon us. We are God's inheritance, and Holy Spirit is the seal. Paul said that we have the brand of Jesus, just like the cattle. You have the brand, the cattle. You have the, burn the brand, and this brand indicate the owner of the cattle. Today we're saved. The Spirit is our seal. Is the seal. Others may not know, but the angels will know. Even the, demon would know. In some places, even there, we have some young brothers and sisters, and try to play some kind of game with the demons. When you are a Christian, the demon knows, and that game wouldn't work. The Spirit is the seal on us. It's a pledge to us. Pledge is a deposit. It's a foretaste. When you go to have your clothes tailor-made. They would cut a piece of the cloth on your receipt to show that this is the pledge, or this is the deposit. The Holy Spirit is the pledge to us. This pledge here is a living pledge. This pledge can anoint and operate and grow in us. Point three, the sealing and pledging of the Holy Spirit continue to permeate and transform us with God's divine element for our enjoyment until we are mature in God's life and our body is transfigured in glory. This inheritance is of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the seal. He's also the pledge. This pledging and the sealing is continuous. The anointing is continuing. Then we are being transformed, and then we can become his inheritance. And this inheritance is glory. This inheritance is his attribute in us. We become his inheritance, and we become his inheritance. Through the sealing and pledging, he continued to permeate and operate, anoint us, to fill us. Eventually we'll be matured and we are transfigured in glory. This inheritance is glorious, it's rich, because This inheritance is triune God himself. Point D, talk about the surpassing greatness of God's power. Surpassing greatness power, which is a resurrect power, resting power, ascending power, subjecting, subduing power, and heading up and overruling power. And this power is operating in us, is toward us who believe. This power is also to the church. Ephesians 3:20 says, but to him who is able to superabundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us. In chapter 1, 119, this power is toward those who believe. This power is operating in Jesus, so that he has been resurrected. In chapter 22, subject all things under the feet and gave him to be head over all things, which is subduing, which is verse 23, which the body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Ephesians 1:10, unto the economy of the fullness of the time, to head up all things in Christ, and the things in all things will be subjected under him. But it even go one step further. Ephesians 1:10, to head up all things in Christ. To head up all things. All things in Christ. The church is the depositor of the surpassing great fourfold power. We have fourfold power. With the resurrection power, ascending is transcending power, subjecting power, which is subduing power, heading overruling power. This is the fourfold power. This fourfold power is in the church. This great fourfold power is in the church. It's toward the church. Point two, when this power operates in Christ, it's made him the head. It resurrects him, sitting in the heavenly. So this power also operates in us to make us the body. The fourfold power first operated in Christ, so he can be the head. Today, it's operating in us so that we can be his body. Point three, to experience the divine transmission of this power, we need to realize that this power is in us already. Point four, to experience the divine transmission of this power, we need to have a strong desire to get completely out of death. We need to see it. We need to realize to see that this power is in us. If we don't see this, then it's hard for us to apply. Ephesians 3:16, he grant according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, the power through his spirit into our inner man. Ephesians 3:20, he who is able to superabundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us. Our ask or think is according in our, it's in our heart. It's in our soul. He not only strengthens us in our inner man, in the spirit, but also in our soul. 33:21b, according to this operation, which he is able to even subject all things to himself. So this is strengthening us in our three tripartite being. I'm able to do all things in him who empowers us. Colossians 1:29, for which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operate in me in power. This is a two parallel verse. 4:13 said, we are in him. And in Colossians 1:29 said, he is in us. Operate in me. If you read the footnote, then you can have a very good prophecy. We are in him and he's in us. That we're in him, he empowers us. We're in him. He's not only operating in the spirit, but also in soul, in our body. In order to experience the divine transmission, we need to have a strong desire to get completely out of death. Death is strong. We need to get out of death. Only the life can subdue death. If you are dead, you have no operation. Revelation 3:1, to the churches in the Sardis, that I know your works, that you have a name, that you are living, and yet you are dead. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the spirit, the letter kills, the spirit gives life. If we're in letters, then we're dead. But we're in spirit, gives life. 2 Corinthians 5:4, what is the mortal body may be swallowed up by life. By life. Even though there's only two portions of verses, but it's very, very rich. Paul has two very important prayer. This should be our prayer also. This is the prayer of the age. This is the prayer is to pray for revelation, but not only by ourselves, but pray revelation for the church. We need to have the revelation so we can know God's desire, so we can see the we can capture by him. He called us, and there's a hope. This hope is glorious, that Christ can become us, and Christ in us is the hope of glory. So eventually we'll be conformed to the fully conformed to his Son. And the inheritance is the riches of the glory of God's inheritance. This inheritance is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the seal, give us the image, but he's also the ink. He's permeate us with the ink. And the glory of this inheritance is his attributes. It's life, power, righteousness. And this spirit seal us, anoint us. He belonged to us, and we belong to him. The sealing and the pledging will continue to permeate and transform us. We can be mature one day, so we can have, we can be completely manifest him. And then there's a surpassing greatness of the power. This power is not only take us out of death and bring us into resurrection, And he's also ascending. It's a subjecting power, subduing power, it's heading up power. This power is toward the church. Not only it's operate in Christ so that he can be the head, but today this power also operate in us so we can be his body. To experience such a transmission of this power, we need to realize this power is already in us, in our spirit. We need to have a desire, a strong desire, to get completely out of death, so we can be in life, so we can have such a transmission of this power to us. So we should speak two by two. And speak this point to one another. Because of time, we need to have to know his desire, not only in our spirit, our heart need to be captured by him. We to live and serve him in this way, this hope. So that we can be sunnized. We can be permeated. The inheritance is being permeated by him to conform us the power so that we can be transcending power. This power is also to the church. It's a transcending power and transmitting to the church. Also, this portion of the verses, we also need to pray. We don't have time to pray read this, but we need to read this is pretty much the content. We read from verse 3:16 to 21, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. But to him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations forever and ever. Amen. This section is what we're going to get into. At the beginning, verse 16, that he would grant you. He is the Father, according to the riches of his glory. This is a source of its, which is glory. In verse 21, talk about to be the glory in the church, in Christ, according to generation. So it's the source of glory, and then the goal is glory. Point A. In verse 16 through 19, the word that is used four times in the apostle's prayer. The apostle prayed that the Father will grant you to be strengthened. The result of such a strengthening is that Christ make his home in our hearts. The result of God's making his home in our hearts in that we are full of strength to apprehend the dimension of Christ, the breadth, the length, height, and depth, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. And the result of this apprehending and knowing is that we are filled unto all the fullness of God. These are the steps to make up the metabolic process by which the body of Christ is constituted with the riches of Christ through our enjoyment of these riches. There are four steps here in this section of the verses, or maybe four stage. That we be strengthened, to be strengthened so that our spirit can be strengthened. So that the result that the Christ will make his home in our heart. So our heart is our spirit, soul, and body. It's our soul and the conscious of the spirit. Our spirit being strengthened, and he make his home in our heart. And then we have the ability to apprehend the dimension of Christ, also to know the knowledge surpassing love. So we can apprehend, we can enter into his riches. Our apprehending, our knowing is through our faith. Our spirit being strengthened, our soul, our heart, he make his home in our heart. So then we can enter into his riches. Then fourthly, we will be filled. And his riches enter into us, that we are filled unto all the fullness of God. First in the spirit, second our soul being occupied by him, and then we can apprehend and know his riches and his surpassing love, and then we can enter into his riches. Then we are filled by his riches. We enter into his riches, and his riches enter into us. There's a saying in Chinese that where you have the water, you drink the water, the water come into you, but you are being bathed in the water surrounding you. So we need to be drinking the water and being bathed in water. That's the be filled. There are four steps here. Four, our spirit need to be strengthened. He need to make his home in our heart so that we can apprehend his riches, and then that his riches can become our riches and to express him. We get into point B. In Ephesians 1, our spirit is revealed as an organ for us to receive revelation concerning the church. In Ephesians 3, our spirit is a person, the inner person, for us to experience Christ for the church. In order to experience Christ unto the fullness of God, we need to be strengthened with the fourfold power of the triune God into our spirit through the Holy Spirit. This is the step one. Ephesians 3:16. Point C is verse 17. D is verse 18. And then verse 19. In Ephesians 1, we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. To this revelation, this spirit is an organ. Organ is a passive organ, has no person. There's no organ. It doesn't function by itself. Our stomach, our lung. These are organs, are under the control by the head. But in Ephesians 3, in the second prayer, the spirit is a person. The person has a it's active. You can, so person and organ are quite different. Our spirit not only as a receiving organ, but can becoming the active person, cooperating with God. So we can, this is active, it's living, it's cooperating completely with the Lord. Point three, C. Our heart is the totality of our inward parts and the center of our inward being. When Christ makes his home in our heart, he controls our entire inward being and supplies and strengthens every inward part with himself. This is our heart. This is verse 17. That Christ makes his home in your heart through faith. To make home, meaning that he is the head of the house. He has the power. He not only has the power, he also supplies us, our mind, emotion, and will. Before we're saved, our mind, emotion, and will are very weak. But after he makes his home in our heart, our mind, our emotion are being regulated. We cry and laugh in a proper way because he make his home in our heart. We love and choose what the Lord desire and love and choose. Point D, in our experience of Christ, we first experience the breadth of what he is and then the length. When we advance in Christ, we experience the height and depth of his riches. Point one, brothers, our experience of Christ must become three-dimensional, like a cube, but must not be one-dimensional like a line. In our experience of Christ, we must go back and forth and up and down so that eventually our experience of him may be a solid cube like the Holy of Holies. When we experience our experience of Christ is like this, we cannot fall or be broken. This verse 18, we apprehend the breadth, the length and height and depth. Point E, we need to look at point E together because they are connected. We eventually know the knowledge surpassing of love of Christ, that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God. The love of Christ is knowledge surpassing, yet we know it by experiencing it. The fullness of God is the issue of our enjoyment of unsearchable riches, Christ, as the embodiment of God dispensing to our being through his indwelling. Christ imparted the riches of all that God is into our being to make us the fullness of God, the corporate expression of God. The four steps. The four steps is to, first is to strengthen our spirit, to make his home in our heart. And then third, we enter into his riches and his riches enter into us. So point D, talk about through our faith. Through our faith, we can enter into his riches. And point E, and his riches will enter into us through love. So that his riches can enter into us. The faith and love are inseparable. Through faith, we enter into his riches. Through love, his riches will enter into us. Through faith, we enter into him. Through love, we can open to him completely so he can enter into us. Titus 3:15, there is a footnote. You have faith and love. Because of faith, you have love. The footnote talk about faith and love is a attribute. It cannot be separate. It's inseparable. Through, because you have faith and love. 1 Corinthians 1:14 is also we are in Christ with faith and love. Maybe some can use these two verses to prophesy. We need to have faith, but we also need to have love. These two cannot be separable. Through faith, that we can know his breadth and length, but then through love, we know his height and depth. This need to be three-dimensional. It cannot be just one-dimensional, like a line. With a line, you go to the north or go to the south, which is all extreme. Our experience need to be balanced. This is a cube. We need to go. We need to be unturned. We cannot be like unturned bread. What God has given us, you know, we have two hands, we have two legs, we have two eyes, two ears. This is all a kind of symmetric. We have two legs. We can walk. If you only have one leg, and then it's hard. You have to have coordination. The Lord is the Spirit. He's also the Word. He's righteous, but he's also love, loving kindness. Christ in the church. There's always a balanced view. There's a balanced view. It's not extreme and balanced. Going back and forth and up and down, so we are balanced. We need to have a coordination, being balanced by others. This is through faith. Through faith, we can enter into the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. In point E, talk about we know the knowledge surpassing love. We need to experience this through experience. We are not through knowledge. It's knowledge surpassing. Point two tells us he dispenses his love into us. He dispenses and then we enjoy. He dispenses and we enjoy. We've been filled, and then we can flow him out. We need to be rooted. We need to be rooted and grounded. We need point D and E telling us how do we experience him. Our spirits are strengthened. He makes his home in our heart. And then through faith, we can enter into the three-dimensional experience. And then through love, we can be filled by him. Point F, verse 20. God superabundantly fulfill not only above all that we ask, but also what we think concerning the church according to the power of the that operates in us. His power operate in us. We need the prayer in the body to fulfill the church. This is the prayer of the age. The prayer of the church is the prayer of the age. What the church asks or think, and he will super abundantly above all that we ask or think. How do we apply this? The application here is through the prayer, through the church prayer, so we can enter into his power and his riches. Point G, we are being strengthened into our inner man according to the riches of God's glory. And then unto him is glory in the church. First, the glory of God is wrought into us, and then it returns to God for his glorification. We mentioned before, Ephesians 3:16 is a source of glory. And 3:21 is, to him be the glory. We ask the Father to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But eventually, the body can be manifest to become his glory. So it's the source of the glory, and then it's also to work, to him be the glory. The glory entered into us, we're being glorified, and then glory will return back to him. The triune God is the infinite glory, and he's willing to put aside his glory, but pass through the death and resurrection, and then to plant a seed of the glory into us, so that eventually we can be just like him. With the many sons was manifested, then the Father will have the glory. And now we review the point two. Paul, we not only pray for the revelation, but we also pray for the experience. And this experience has four steps. Our spirit, our inner man need to be strengthened. Our heart need to be, he didn't make his home in our heart. We can enter into his riches, and riches can enter into us. Our spirit is not only the organ to know him, but our spirit is also a person to cooperate with him. Our spirit need to be strengthened. Our heart need to be make home in our heart. And he supplied us. He supplied us to every part of our soul. Through faith, we can enter into his riches, into his the dimension of the, and then we can also, through love, we can know, and we can enter into his riches. And his riches can be entered into us. And this is the operation of his power. This power is operated through the prayer, through the prayer of the church. And this, he will superabundantly above all that we ask or think. And then eventually he'll bring us into glory. This glory is a source. This also glory continues to be dispensed into us. And eventually this glory will return back to the Father. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. Maybe we can imitate our brother Ron Kangas. Many years he prayed this two portion of the prayers daily. This is the greatest prayer This is the highest prayer. Maybe we all can try to memorize this verse. This is the pattern for our prayer. We need to pray for the revelation, pray for the experience for the church, of the church. Let's try to recite and pray, read and recite this portion and constitute it in us. Maybe on Wednesday, we all should participate in the church prayer meeting so we can take part in the prayer of the age. So we stop here. Amen.